Hi there, and welcome to the podcast. This is Brian Beeler, the captain of the storage review ship. With me today, I've got Kevin O'Brien, our test lab coordinator, and a special guest straight from San Diego. We'll bring him in just a little bit. First of all, I want to thank everyone on Reddit, the home lab sales sub that was so helpful in guiding us on the first podcast and providing a lot of feedback. You will notice the number one feedback element was a request for intro jingle. We do not have an intro jingle, but Kevin is on it. Kevin, do you have a status report on the jingle?
I still have some feeler requests out, and I'm trying to get that work in pretty soon.
Fantastic. So still no jingle. We also have a update on the cowboy hat situation, which incidentally has not yet been delivered. I'm starting to get a little nervous. If it's not here by the week after Thanksgiving, we may have to loop in a technical representative from Dell Technologies. Maybe we'll get Lon on to get to the bottom of the missing cowboy hat. However, this is from Reddit user TexasLiving08, which, if it's about hats, cowboy hats, this has got to be legit. If you remember from the last podcast, I had a bunch of questions around what color cowboy hat you need or should select when looking at the rows of cowboy hats. There were so many. Anyway, TexasLiving08 says, "As for the hat colors, I can coincidentally shed some light on that. The coloring is mostly personal preference, and typically you want it to jive well with your boots." First of all, those are his words, jive and cowboy. I don't know if that goes together. Anyway, "you'll mostly see black and brown felt rabbit hats in the winter, and usually more silver if you're going somewhere super nice. At least that's what we learned growing up." So, if you remember, I was steered towards the gray/silver hat, which is what you wear when you're going somewhere super nice. I guess the cowboy fitting me felt like that was very becoming, and I think I should be honored. Now, if the damn thing would just show up, everything would be well in the world. Looking over towards the news this week, things have been really busy on the site. Adam claims to have had over 500 news submissions to sort through this week. I want to bring in Tom Fenton, who joins us live from San Diego. Tom, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Brian, Kevin.
Excellent. So Tom and Kevin, Tom's not native to San Diego. He lives in the Great Northwest in the Portland area. But Tom and Kevin were on site, and Tom still is because he works harder than Kevin, apparently, in San Diego covering KubeCon. What'd you guys find when you were out there?
You know, Brian, let me go ahead and kick it off. Couple interesting things. Storage, DeMonte, you guys released a paper on performance on the container storage. I heard a lot of buzz about that. I think it's kind of Kubernetes is developing to where people are actually starting to care about performance. They figured out how to install it and to get it to work, and so that was one of the things I heard a lot of buzz about.
Yeah, we're as we've looked through the different offerings that people had at the show, I think a big presence was back in the day, everyone was looking at physical hosts and the storage related to it, and it's a one stream or a couple of streams, number of hosts, and virtualization comes in, and maybe you have 10 or 100 streams. And now there's an IO blender that's even worse, where you have thousands of containers running on the same hardware, and flash is definitely needed, and it's a reliance on even greater performance storage.
Yeah. We also talked to the company formerly known as Toshiba Memory. Do you guys want to try and pronounce that?
I got it. I've been practicing all week. You ready? Kioxia.
Kioxia.
Yeah, I thought it was Shia too.
Kioxia. Damn it, I missed. Patrick at Serve the Home did a 2-minute video on how to pronounce the damn thing. I should have listened to that. All right, Kioxia. So how did that go? They had some news out around updates for Kumo Scale, which we looked at some time ago, but now they've got a more advanced container forward version out.
Yeah, they announced that they have a container storage interface, a CSI for Kubernetes for NVMe over flash, and I hadn't heard of anyone else doing that before. So that's exciting, and they should be able to really get some great performance out of that. So
that's over Fabrics, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, what did I say?
Flash.
Over Oh, sorry.
That's all
Yeah,
right.
over fabric. It's been a tough week.
Yeah, it's it
So,
must be difficult being in San Diego, the land of sunshine and naval pilots and that sort of thing.
oh yeah, actually, good barbecue place right across the street. So I know what I'm doing for lunch today.
Don't start me on the barbecue. You heard about the fiasco with Franklin Barbecue in Austin. It was so cold out that the barbecue was like barbecue sickles. They should have put it on a stick.
Oh no. Did you have a long wait to get the sickles? Because they usually have the big old line there.
That was the deal. They were at the Dell Technologies event that evening at Troublemaker Studios, where they made Alita, which, by the way, just as an Alita update, I'm still only 64 minutes into the movie. I need to wrap that up. But yeah, it was just so cold, and they had heaters on site, but it's just not enough to get
Yeah,
the job
thawed
done.
out. Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of the first dinner reception. We had a our first night at Coupton, we had four dinners, and I think dinner started at 4:30 and ended at 11:30. But at our first reception had I remember some cold meatballs for some reason. It was like Swedish meatballs, but
Yeah.
cold.
All
Yeah,
right.
I don't think they were supposed to be.
Don't try to up my cold barbecue with your crappy cold meatballs, all right? Mine was supposed to be fantastic and you're telling me about cold meatballs. You did though, and Tom, let's set the record straight. Some number of weeks ago, Tom declared that I owed him a steak, and I can't recall the exact scenario around why did I owe you a steak in the first place?
We had lots of steaks.
No, we didn't, Kevin. You had lots of steak. I had a lot of scallions or scallops and fish.
Onions.
Onions. I had a lot of onions and fish.
All right.
I refused to eat a steak until Brian Pries opened his wallet
All
and
right. So
vault he has in the back
regardless
there.
of why I owed you a steak, this is evidence exhibit A as to why Tom's a grade A dick sometimes. I owe him a steak, and we're at NetApp Insight, and I have every intention of securing him a steak, regardless of who pays for it. That's somewhat irrelevant. And we were at the media event, and they had little steaks on a stick, which I asked him the day after if he had eaten those, and he said, "No, I didn't want you to see me eat one and take credit for the steak." Now, I wouldn't have done that. I'm not that kind of guy. If I owe you a steak, I owe you a steak. So I take Tom to lunch the next day. He eats a, what'd you get, a fish taco or something?
Yep.
Okay. Take Tom to lunch the next day. And he was gonna get the Philly steak sandwich, right? But you
Yep.
avoided it because you thought I might count it as a steak.
Yep,
Well,
Cobb salad.
Cobb salad, that was a better life decision anyway. So we make it through NetApp Insight. He doesn't consume a steak that I get credit for. Now I hear about this dinner with our friends at, someone say it for me. Kyokushia. All right, I got it. I got it.
Kyokushia.
All right, I got it. So there's a steak dinner there. You guys are getting the update on Kumo scale. I miss out on it entirely. And Tom, set the record straight. Am I off the hook on owing you a steak?
They had a beautiful looking fillet. They had some great looking New York strips, and they had some mahi-mahi, and that's kind of what I went with.
You son of a bitch.
Hey, I had a 22-ounce ribeye that I was
And
not
he,
even able to completely finish.
no, you were not on the bone on that thing, man. There was nothing left. Kevin
It was the fourth
demolished
dinner that
that. It
night.
was one of those tomahawk steaks. You could have
Ooh.
clubbed someone with the damn thing.
I mean, I felt like a hobbit. I just had too many dinners.
All right. Dinners by the wayside. You made some good progress in catching up with a number of companies. You roll into Tuesday. Anything stick out Tuesday as you found a little more time on the show floor? A bunch of other announcements. What stuck out there, Tom?
You know, I took Kevin over to see a company I've really been impressed with. Their technology is just kind of the next generation. It's called Dynatrace, and they have been doing application program management and tracing, and they have a Kubernetes solution for monitoring that. I think Kevin was pretty impressed with it.
Yeah, I was going to say that the thing that stood out to me at the show was the Dynatrace solution, where I think it was their what was the name of their screen panel that showed the fault timing for the it was like a problem solving screen. That was one where it really helps kind of define how containers and monitoring work together, where you can see all the different how they're all interconnected, the performance between all of them, but also if one stands out, it really drills in to find out what the root cause. Actually, I think it was their root problem solving screen.
Yeah. Yep, they do a good job. They're a bunch of really smart people. And they are one of the few companies that I think understand AI and machine learning and actually use it in their product.
That one's always fun because we hear about AI and ML and all this emerging technologies, and then you ask the next question, well, what are you doing or how does that work or why is your technology great for that? And normally it's followed by a real strong blank stare, but it's good to hear these guys are doing something with it productive.
Yep. And then we walked over and saw the folks over at Chronosphere. They're another monitoring solution for Kubernetes. And these guys, I think they're going to be one of the real strong up and comers. They're the people who developed the monitoring for, was it Uber or Lyft? And so it's called M3 is the project, and they're wrapping some enterprise features around it and support around it. So I think they're another big player and they'll be fun to watch.
Well, while we're on it, and you've got a pretty strong background in VMware, all things VMware, they also, in terms of the big news from our site that was picked up well, GA'd version 1.6 of PKS. They've got a emphasis to improve day one, day two operations. They also have an integration now with Tanzu Mission Control, which VMware recently launched. Which helps enterprises build software on Kubernetes, also shipping with Kubernetes 1.15 and all sorts of other new benefits. I know VMware from past years is typically has a building presence at KubeCon. What do you guys see there in terms of VMware's visibility what's the vibe on PKS, if any?
They definitely had a big booth there. It was packed. A lot of people, in fact, couldn't really squeeze in and talk to anyone. I did see a report where they had a white paper on how Kubernetes performs 5% better in a vSphere environment than on a bare metal. So that's kind of interesting.
That is interesting. That's not intuitive.
Right. Yeah. And then, VMware with the Pacifica and the Tsunami product, it'll be interesting to see how all these things wrap up and, what kind of product they eventually end up with. But I think VMware is definitely on top of it, and they know it's the future, and they're definitely embracing it. I mean, the Hapito acquisition they made a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I think it's really going to pay off for them.
Interesting. Any other key highlights, Kevin? Did you find anything else? I know you were excited about Chick-fil-A using Kubernetes. That's not real actionable here, though. Any other highlights from KubeCon that have you excited?
Well, I had a good talk with the NetApp folks on their SolidFire HCI solution that apparently holds up very well to Kubernetes environments with QoS. And I know that we're talking about trying to get one in the lab fairly soon, so that should be a pretty fun upcoming project.
Yeah, they've got an interesting take on HCI, where their solution is able to scale compute and storage independently, which I think is an angle that will resonate well, especially with this type of audience. Tom, closing thoughts on KubeCon, and are you looking forward to... Where is it? Boston next year?
So not looking forward to Boston in the least in November. I can see some things going really bad with weather there. But after Kevin abandoned me, I went over and talked to the folks at Canonical, the people who do Ubuntu. And they really have a neat little edge deployment of Kubernetes called Microcates. That they're pushing their, that's what their booth was pretty much about, just talking about this small little distribution that you can run on the edge. And then also went over and talked to Shannon at Rancher Labs. And Rancher Labs is just one of those great companies. It's one that is small, but definitely punches above its weight. You know, everyone knows about it. And they're always doing neat, innovative things. They're totally open source. Everything they do is open source. And they have a K3S for the edge. And I'm talking to Shannon about that. And he says next year they definitely recognize the edge and they're going to come up with some new some management things for edge computing. And then when I first got there, I got to KubeCon a day early and was able to sit in on some training by Nigel Poulton, Kubernetes 101, just to kind of get back up to speed on it. And he just did a fantastic job, a great instructor.
You guys, did you go see the Mighty Mo or the Midway Carrier out there? Did you do anything fun?
I was looking to try and hit that up on my last day, and then the rain started, which being on top of an aircraft carrier with wind and rain didn't really seem like the best choice there.
They have an inside part, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I want to make it worthwhile. I figure next time I'm out there, I'll hit it up, but I just didn't want to get struck by lightning.
that would be a net loss. Yeah, I do have some numbers from the show. If there's any question that Kubernetes is growing up from, gosh, even last year felt a little science project-y to this year. It sounds like from the reports from you guys that it sounds much more not just mainstream enterprise, but something that is broadly adopted. Top to bottom in a lot of these organizations. They say about 12,000 in San Diego this year compared to about 8 last year in Seattle and 4 in Austin. So that's a tremendous trajectory. Hard to imagine, you know, 16,000 in Boston in November, but you know, they're set up really well and seeing some strong growth. So there's absolutely no doubt about that. So while these two were in San Diego, the other big event going on this week is around supercomputing, HPC out SC19 out in Denver. So there was a lot going on out there. AMD, looking through our news coverage, things that stood out that engaged really well. AMD launched some new AWS and Azure instances. And they're banging the drum from the hardware side on PCIe Gen 4, which is a big platform advantage they have over Intel at the moment anyway. They announced some support for Broadcom Thor 200 gig Ethernet cards. I don't know if you really need to give 200 gig the Thor name, but they'll take it. It sounds pretty cool. They also had support for Mellanox ConnectX 6 NICs that can do 400 gigabytes per second InfiniBand, Samsung Gen 4 PM1733 NVMe SSDs. Now that's going to be really interesting when you look at storage and what PCIe Gen 4 can do. We haven't seen any drives in yet. We are talking to Samsung about those very 1733s. They claim 2x IOPS over the prior gen PCIe Gen 4, 3 model, so that's interesting. AMD also added support for several of the Xilinx FPGAs. NVIDIA, anytime there's HPC news, you can count on NVIDIA being there. They launched a new cloud-based GPU-accelerated supercomputer available in Microsoft Azure, so that one's interesting. Not a real broad adoption opportunity, but something that stands out as definitely leading edge, as we don't typically think about supercompute resources being consumed in the cloud in that way. But NVIDIA has been making tremendous progress there lately, including some work with VMware in the cloud with GPU enablement. Anyway, their solution will provide significant performance and cost advantages compared to traditional CPU-based computing. So anytime you get the GPUs involved, you've got a big opportunity for improvement. Also, Dell Technologies is out with a number of things at Supercompute 19. They've got Dell EMC Ready Solutions designed for HPC storage with, BGFS, and they've got another one designed for ArcaStream's PixStor file systems. One other thing that they did that's kind of interesting, and Kevin, I want to get your read on this. They are releasing a 400 gig switch in their power switch family, the Z9332FON. Kevin, we've got a bunch of Dell networking gear in the lab now. What's the latest there? What do you think about a 400 gig opportunity?
Well, I mean, there's definitely storage arrays that are starting to, storage technologies that are starting to push that limit. Since when you look at these things, it's really a bandwidth question. 100 gig network would give you about 10 gigabytes a second per link. 400 would give you around 40. And if you look at some of the recent reviews that we've done, we've had certain products start to push that upper limit. The most recent is the NetApp EF600, where when you look at the sequential read performance, that box got up to just over 40 gigabytes a second. So if you're trying to reduce the number of links to these, or looking at the top of rack performance, or between data center performance, 400 gig is starting to make sense for certain customers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that adoption goes, especially as you say, as these fabrics, over fabrics type solutions start to drive that. Going back to the, what we were talking about with Kioxia, on Kumo's scale, software-defined solution has a lot of flexibility when deploying it on server hardware and the underlying storage and NIC opportunities there will unlock some of those benefits. One last thing as we look at our most popular news from the week, one that surprised me, Tom, that stood out was we had crazy engagement around a little piece you wrote around iGel Workspace on an Intel NUC. That just shocked me, the engagement there. You spent a lot of time with that solution. What excited you about it that you think got the audience online jazzed up?
You know, iGel does a great job with their VDI client. Their software is rock solid. I really enjoyed working with it. That little, I don't know what it is about those Intel NUCs, but they're just kind of a friendly device to work with. And we used that same one to check another VDI client out, and it performed okay. But I think iGel, because they have their own Linux distribution that's definitely been optimized for VDI, it really, really performed well. I was playing full screen videos on it without any video or audio drop. Very impressed with the performance I got out of it, especially on that little NUC.
Can it drive your Norwegian death metal tunes okay?
Yes, it can.
Dear Lord. Your music interests are varied and also quite disturbing. Kevin, back to you in the lab update. Just quickly, what do you have going on in there this week and through the holiday?
Right now, we're wrapping up our NetApp 800 review, where we're testing NVMe over Fabric. And we're also prepping a Dell Unity XT 480F for testing. So
yeah, that
we have a number of flash arrays in motion.
Yeah, that 480F is going to be interesting too, because we're also looking at integrations with Faction and some of the cloud services that they provide Dell EMC customers. First one being disaster recovery as a service. So we're setting that up at the moment as well. One that you left off the list that you left for Kevin or Adam and I to deal with this week, there are several big heavy boxes with the name Cumulo on the side. Appreciate you being in San Diego while we had to haul that crap into the lab.
My back thanks you.
Yeah, well, you're going to be the one racking it, so that's going to be your fight. Yeah, so we've got that coming for our first Cumulo review coming up as well. We're going to get that started probably after the holiday, but we'll get it racked beforehand. And that's one, seems like there's a lot of energy around those guys. So we're excited to check that out. Speaking of next week, we'll have no podcast while everyone's off eating turkey or on vacation or wherever else you may be. One other thing to let you guys know, we have started a subreddit /r/storage review where we're hoping to engage with our audience there. We want to get feedback on things like this podcast and questions that you want answered and any other insights you have. Also, feel free to reach out to us directly, info@storagereview.com or @storagereview on Twitter. Thanks, and we'll be back the week of December 2nd. Bye-bye.